clap of praise and worship today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Praise his name. Hallelujah. I don't have enough breath. I don't have enough life to praise him like I really want to, brother, sister. He's so worthy, so good. A lot of people, they serve a religion, they serve a building, but I've met a person. Amen. And this God that I've met, is he's the greatest. He's the only one true living God. That's right. And to think of what privileged people we are to know who he is. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. It's good to have Brother and Sister Garrett here. I know the kids are visiting, or BYC, is that right? I believe that's this weekend, and it's good to have you all with us. Sister Victoria's got a guest with us, so it's good to have you here today. If you don't mind, what's your name, brother?
John.
It's good to have John with us. Hope you enjoy the service. God bless you if you're coming. And where's Brother Alfonso, man?
He
attended
the foundation yesterday in a crouched position.
I got you. Is his back out on him, exhausted and all that? Okay. I understand. Amen. So what's believed for Brother Alfonso? I appreciate everyone that comes. I do. Like I said, it's good to see Sister Juanita and all the rest of you here all the time. It's good to see you. Amen. If we didn't have any Indians, there wouldn't be no point of having chiefs. So, don't let the devil tell you you're not needed. You are. That's right. From the top to the bottom, you're needed. I do appreciate Brother Jason coming and saying, "Brother, you got a pink shirt on today?" This is about as close Brother Andrew's going to get to pink. I'm going to tell you that right now. And this is kind of pushing it for me. I don't know. I saw it in a different light when I bought it. It looked more orange. But any of you that know my orange shirt, Dad, tell you that thing's probably about as old as I am. But it's so faded now. I was like, I got to do something. I got to get a new one. Came out with this. I might have to go back and find another one. So that's all right. I hope you forgive me. Thank you, Mom. I don't hold a pink doctrine necessarily, but I will say this. Don't go getting an effeminate spirit, brothers. You stay a man, a woman stays a woman. Don't go blurring the lines up. But the shirt don't necessarily mean that. I hope you understand. Amen. If you got your Bibles today, James chapter 3. Continue here in the book of James. Been sure enjoying this and study of the Word of God. I was thinking when we came to pray yesterday, I felt real accomplished. And really what it was, I really couldn't say nothing because it didn't mean a lot to anyone else, but I was kind of ready for church already. So I felt pretty good. It was nice, you know. Sometimes it's, man, Saturday night, Sunday morning, you still feel like you're scrambling before you get up here. But the Lord was able, I guess I was got the inspiration from the Lord a little earlier than normal. So that was wonderful. Pray it speaks to each one today. James chapter 3 and verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. I'd like to speak on this afternoon, acting on the wisdom of God. Acting on the wisdom of God. Let's bow our heads before the Lord, with every head bowed, and I trust your heart as well. Is there a need you'd like to lift up? Say, Lord, you know what's behind this hand. God bless you, saints. God hears your prayers. Let's pray with all of our hearts. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for gathering the saints together again today, knowing, Lord, that we don't have to be here. It's a privilege to come to your house. It's an honor to be in the presence of Jesus Christ, Lord. Many people drag themselves to church. Many people come to a building and just don't even see you. But Lord, we don't come that way. We come with an expectation in our hearts that you promised that if two or three of you would gather in my name, you would be here amongst us, Lord. And I come, Lord, not to speak of myself, but that the Holy Spirit might come and use this vessel and speak to your children and fill every heart with their needs. Fill every soul with your presence, Lord. Hear every heart's cry and be glorified in this service, we pray. Heal every sickness, Lord. Encourage the discouraged. Fill the empty, Lord, and more than anything, Lord, prepare each soul for the coming of the Lord that we know is coming so soon. Speak from heaven, Lord. May we hear your voice. May our hearts be open to receive your word. Have your way in the service, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen, amen. You may be seated today. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Acting on the wisdom of God, we're living in a day here in Laodicea where it just seems like everybody's got it figured out. Everybody knows what's best. Everybody, and you can't tell them no different. I don't care if they're 5 years old. I don't care if they're 100. You find a little kid, he just got it all figured out. You find a teenager, he knows so much better than you. Why wasn't he hired on the job before we were, you know? And then you find an old man, he said, back in my day, we didn't have to do all this. You all don't know what you're talking about. Right. Just an old grumpy grouch down there and everything in between. It's just a day of people believing they're self-sufficient. But really, when you break them down, they couldn't live a day by themselves. Right. Half of this nation that we got anymore, if it wasn't for the government, we wouldn't have nothing. Right. And the same government's stealing everything from you. So what's the difference? It's just you got the hat out of the rat, or the rabbit out of the hat. That's really what it is. It's just a trick of the government. They give you the sense of false security because we know how it works. They just know that if they can get enough votes, they can vote in their own legislation to make themselves money, and that they'll give you part of it just so you vote for them. Right. Hallelujah, that's right. And don't you let the devil give you the same kind of bargain, saying, look, just vote for me, just stay with the things of the world, don't get too fanatical on God, and I'll keep things rolling right along. I'll make sure you got the rent paid and you got a nice car and a nice home, but at the end of the day, you don't have peace. Right. You don't have joy. You can't lay your head down for a good night's sleep because the devil's sitting there rattling you every day with conviction on your heart, knowing God's saying, get right with me. Get right with me. Why are you living in the things of the world? That's not where you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be back here in the Shekinah glory. And we're living in a day where the bride of Christ cannot accept anything less than the full word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. I pray we believe that with all of our hearts. If you're looking for a good enough religion, brother, sister, I've already preached on that. I went through the Bible on that one. That'll produce death every time. Right. Amen. Cain had a good enough religion. He came to God, and it wasn't a false God. He wasn't Mohammed. He wasn't Buddhist. He was a Christian of his day. He came to the right, true living God. He came in a sincere way. He put his hands to the work a lot more than most of us will. Hallelujah. At least he came to church. At least he tried to worship God. At least he put forth an effort. But look, that at least didn't do him no good because he wouldn't obey the word. He came with his own wisdom, and that's what we're going to get to here. He came with his own idea, his self-sufficient idea. Says, well, God is beautiful. No, look at that reasoning right there taking off. God is beautiful. And obviously whatever he thinks is beautiful is what I think is beautiful. And really not recognizing that you're saying that you're actually your own God instead of what God said about it. So he went and he got rocks, and I don't know, he made it nice and pretty. He got it nice and straight with whatever tools he had. You know, at the time it was still before the days of real machinery like we have today. And he said, you know what? Mom and Dad told me that we ate fruit in the garden. So I'm going to go get some. Now look, they told him that. Just like Jesus told us to eat his flesh and drink his blood. He sure did. He didn't go and explain it. He just said it. But he knew that we, as the believers, would catch the revelation of what he was saying. And the same with Adam and Eve. They said there was trees in the garden, and we ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Never went through and explained it to them. Never. They could have laid there and laid it out and gave them all kinds of details. Why didn't they do that? Because God doesn't work on your wisdom. He works by revelation.
Amen, that's right.
Hallelujah. And that's where we're going to get to real hard and real quick, it looks like, that your wisdom is worthless. It's nonsense. It's absolutely destroying you. You need to humble yourself and come the way God said to come. Here comes Cain, nice pretty altar, brings the fruit of the field. He put his heart into this, brother and sister. And I've met a lot of people act like they sacrifice for God, and I've had to break it to you. You're not even Cain level yet. Well, I paid my tithes. Cain paid a lot more than that. He brought his best. We bring our worst half the time. He brought his best attitude to church. What do we bring? We usually bring our worst attitude to church, don't we? Oh, glory. We're just going to bring it right on home. I hope you're ready. Once this, like I said, I'm rolling up the sleeves right now, getting ready for it. I've met people, man alive, if it's something they like to do, they will get all excited, and I don't care what your demon is that gets you off the track. If it's hunting, look, that can become a demon. If it's sports or if it's something out of the world, if some fashion thing, some idea, some game, you understand me. If you get more excited, more thrilled about those things, I'm here to break it to you, brother, sister. You're living in sin. You're living under unbelief, and that's what's destroying your experience to when you do come to the house of God, you can't find the joy that you know in your heart you believe.
Amen.
You know deep down that I should be, this is where I'm going to spend eternity. There ain't going to be football in eternity. There ain't going to be these things of the world, but Jesus Christ is going to be there. And if He don't excite you here, what in the world do you want to spend all eternity there for? Some people act like they want to get saved. I don't know if they really do. You don't pack your sin to heaven. If you're still loving the things of the world, you ain't going to be there, brother, sister. John says in the book of John, he says, if we love the world or the things of the world, he said, the love of the Father is not in you. So Cain came saying, I know the kind of fruit God wants, the kind of altar God wants, but really he was wrong the whole time. People say, I know what God wants. He wants divine love. But instead of bringing God's love, they bring their own. They bring what they think's love, which anymore is don't preach against sin. Most people will tell you right now, I don't love you because of what I just told some of y'all. And when you get enough faith to recognize, I don't know your lives, I don't know what you're going through, and it's not me that's telling you about it anyways, it's the Lord telling you that. You won't worry about me so much, you worry about the one who really is going to judge you. That's what the Bible said. The Bible never told us to fear the devil. Jesus said, fear him who can destroy the body and soul in hell. And there's only one who can do that, and that's God. We fear him in the sense that you fear him in trembling before you're saved. If you don't recognize that he has the power to destroy you, you will never fully surrender to a new birth. There ain't no way to do it, brother, sis. If you don't recognize I'm 100% sinner, not part sinner, I'm 100% filthy. I'm 100%, it don't matter where I came from. I don't care who was in the message before me. I don't care who knew the prophet. I don't care how long mom, grandma served the Lord. I'm a sinner. And I need saved.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When you find that one that knows what they are, then they can come the right way before God, just like that publican. He said, I'm not even worthy to lift my eyes to heaven. But he beat his chest and said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Amen.
And what did Jesus say? He left justified. He left as if he never did it in the first place. And we've heard a message come forth trumpeting from coast to coast that the bride of Christ is justified. She never did it in the first place. My goodness, brother, sister, we're looking for feelings. We're looking for sensation. But what more do you want to know than that?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Look, I'm not trying to get saved. I'm saved.
Amen.
I'm not trying to make the rapture. I'm already going to be there.
Amen.
I'm already there now, brother, sister. I'm translating heavenly places in Christ Jesus. My soul's been translated up. I ain't no millennialist now that we're already in the millennium here. I don't believe that. But my soul's been translated. The Lord's given me a new spirit. How many knows the Bible? It says, and we got that battle waging on. We understand what used to be and what you are now. But there'll come a day where that battle's over. And resurrection morning sounds forth. And what we need to recognize is that voice is already shouted out.
Amen.
And the voice is to be living in our hearts right now, pulsating one message, the coming of the Lord's here. The coming of the Lord's here. Wisdom will tell you, oh, we got to run from pillar to post. We got to do this, that, and the other thing to really get people ready. But never in the Bible was it done that way.
Never.
It was sons of God are led by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Philip went down to revival there with the Samaritans, my mighty things were happening. Then the Holy Spirit told him, you need to leave. You need to leave all these great meetings. You need to leave this comfort. See, the wisdom of men would have said, why would you leave thousands of people for one? Well, the wisdom of men says, that don't make sense. Why wouldn't you get as much influence as you can? Because if you got 1,000 sinners, you got zero influence. But if you can go find one son of God who's just in a cage of sin and wants delivered, that'll get influence.
Amen.
And he went down, as we know, and found the Ethiopian just reading his Bible.
Oh my.
That's where most of us fall short. We don't even pick the thing up no more. People say, well, I don't think God would do that. Well, that's your wisdom. Go read His. I don't know how many times I have people tell me, well, I think, I believe. The second you tell me I think or I believe it should be, I'm done listening. I'm serious, brother. I'm to that point because I know that's the devil's influence in this day. You might have a quote, you might have a scripture, but when it's all done, you can't just say, look what the prophet said. Look what the Bible said. It's always, I know what he said, but look at this. I know what he said, but, you know, it's been 50 years, brother. Times are rough now. And you know what? God had his prophet preach for 50 years later. Oh, don't. He had these prophets preach for thousands of years later. That's right. Look, they had to have a faith. They had to have such a faith in the wisdom of God to where Isaiah could say, a virgin shall conceive.
That's right.
And never see one thing happen to make that fulfilled.
Right.
And go to his grave, which who knows if he really had a tomb, because they cut him in half.
That's right.
He never denied it. He never said I'm a false prophet. And yet later on, as Jesus said, you priests are out there just polishing all them prophets' tombs. You're just making them all look good. You don't want to kill them. The same thing's happening in our message today, brother, sister. So many that claim to believe, or claimed at this point, so many are falling away left and right, they're polishing tombs, but no life. No life, brother, sister. Look, the same God of Brother Branham is to live today.
Amen.
The same signs and wonders that followed believers then is to follow today. And what does the wisdom of God say? Just do it the way God said it.
Amen.
It'll work. Here came Abel after Cain had been rejected. You know what he did? He got a revelation from God that my hands won't save me. Glory to God. I don't need to build the church. God will build it his way.
Amen.
So he just got some rocks enough to pile it up. Found his best lamb. How'd he kill it, brother, sister? Hallelujah. There wasn't no nice machetes in that day. There wasn't a nice cutting machine. We think it's inhumane now with how they treat animals, and I'm not saying it isn't. But brother, sister, he just had rocks. And how did he know how to kill it? He just went after it and did what God showed him. And he gave that lamb. He beat it until it died and bled and was using a rock to beat. Can you just see that poor, helpless animal? Totally innocent. You ever seen a sheep? They don't do nothing. They don't. They just wander around, they eat, and they just wait for somebody to tell them what to do. Lord Jesus, help me to be that kind of sheep where I just sit and I just eat the word and I wait for the shepherd to tell me what to do.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And he beat that sheep, and it's just blatant to live because we know man and creation, God is life. It was not made for death, but because of sin, the price of sin was death, and the price must be paid.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We understand this was a type, and he let it die, and it bled all the way through. I bled. It was all over his face, all in his hair, all over his clothes and his hands, and there's blood all over the place. What did Cain look? He said, what in the world is that mess? What's up with all that hallelujah and amen and people getting excited about the word? Don't they know we're in church? This is a place of reverence. People don't know the first thing about reverence. When you sit cold, formal, and indifferent on God, that ain't reverence. That's devil worship.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You show me one time people of God praise God that way. Show me once. Where people were just, oh, humble and reverent. No, no, there's something about the soul that God put emotions in our soul, not to give to the devil, not to get excited because someone scored a touchdown, but to get excited about Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That I was a sinner. I was in shame, but God took my place just as Abel recognized this lamb is taking the punishment that I deserve, but I know God is justifying me.
Amen.
He could rejoice. He could thank the Lord. He could give God the praise that he so desired.
Amen.
And Cain just sitting over there saying, oh, such fanaticism. Look at those bunch of crazies. Come on. They don't even know what they're doing. If this was the work of God, God would have blessed it more by now. And then you get the other side. They're preaching the truth. They couldn't have this many members. Well, where do you want it? 35? What's the magic number? Is it too small, too big? It's where's the word?
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you're the only one standing on the word, you're right.
Yes,
glory to God. I don't care if all the world's got its own ideas. You deny all of that because you and God's the majority.
Amen.
The world says that's two. We said that's infinite. And God came on the scene, as we understand. And he didn't even have to talk to Abel. Abel knew it. He had revelation. He knew it was fine. He went on praising the Lord. But Cain, he came to. And don't tell me God don't talk to you. You just ain't listening. God came to Cain. Serpent seed from the get-go. He came to him. Why? Because God recognized his sincerity. He did. He knew he was sincere. And he said, he's trying, so I'm going to tell him what he ought to do. See, God's sincerity isn't to change his word. It's to give you another day to repent and come back to it. I got to say that one again. I don't know. God gives you, his real grace is to give you enough time to finally repent. That's right. Not to change his word, not to manipulate it for your sin. Because if he would do that, could you imagine going to a heaven where the devil's still there? Could you imagine living in our Laodicean condition here on earth forever? That ain't no heaven. That's terrible. And God's wisdom knows that. That sin, as pleasing as it might seem to your flesh, the end of sin is always death. Hallelujah. And he came to Cain and said, look, I know it looks pretty. I know it looks good. And I know you're being sincere and this looks like a sincere service. It looks like this would be something I like. But it isn't what I want. Because you're a sinner, Cain. You need redemption. You need someone to take your place. Hallelujah. And we know that the revelation was that the fruit of the garden wasn't natural fruit as we know now. It was the blood, brother, sister. And the only thing that could pay for blood was blood. You can't change the payment and the debt. If you owe me $100, I don't want a stack of candy bars that's $100. What, did you guys move this or something? I never hit that so many times. I don't want a stack of $100 worth of candy bars. I want $100. You say, well, it's worth just as much. It's not the matching of the payment. Right. Hallelujah. So many people bring things. Well, I do this. I did that. I did this. The rich young ruler had that idea. I've paid my tithes. I've went to church. I've studied the scriptures. I know it from left to right. I know the commandments of Jesus. I've done all of that. Right. He had a whole lot better testimony than most of us did. He said, I've been a good boy. I've went to church. I've done what's right. And Jesus even admired him that, yes, he said, in that regard, you're a good young man. You really are. You've been respectful to your parents, and he could appreciate that. But he said, you lack one thing. You still love money more than God. It wasn't his money in itself. It was his love for money that was the problem. I've seen people that if they just give up what they have, and really sincerely do it, God blesses them even more because now he knows he can trust you to keep it flowing. God don't bless us just so we can hoard it. God blesses us so we can give more. I forget, I think it was Wesley. John Wesley said, get all you can, save all you can, give all you can. Get all you can, save all you can, but give all you can. Amen. And here we've been given. We could talk about money. We could talk about the blessings of God, and we appreciate that. But God has given us His Word. Amen. And too many people are getting an idea that we should be little message monks. And we go hide from everyone in the world because they're evil. And we're scared to death to go outside and talk to a stranger because we read it on Facebook sometime that some kid got murdered because they talked to a stranger. See, you're using your wisdom. The wisdom of God says, if the Holy Spirit told me to go that way, I don't care if it's the darkest, meanest looking alley in the world. That's the best place to be.
Amen.
Because if I don't go there, that means I'm shifting for myself. But if I go where God is, what do I care? I've got the King of Kings behind me. Too many people got the reasoning behind them, and that's why they're getting nowhere. But you get a Son of God who knows that all heaven is backing him up. He don't care what comes. I don't care how scary you look. I've seen demons right in front of me, flopping on the ground and everything else, trying to make me afraid. And I've watched Christians, at least so-called anyways, just scared to death. I said, wait a minute. Oh, that's you're thinking we're going to take care of this devil? No, I know someone who looked a legion of devils in the face.
Amen.
And the devils were scared and shaking and saying, what are you doing here? What are you doing here, you little 5'3" man, 110 pounds?
Amen.
What are you doing here? You come here to torment us before the time?
Right.
Begging the Son of God for mercy. Hallelujah. When are we going to believe that that same Son of God, as the prophet said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the same baptism of the Holy Ghost that filled Jesus on River Jordan has now filled me. I ain't afraid of devils.
Come on.
Hallelujah. I remember one time I was trying to go a different direction. You can tell I haven't even turned this page yet, but that's all right because I don't believe in me preaching a sermon. I believe in the Holy Spirit preaching to us, brothers. There was a sister come to a church, and I was there, and I watched. It's just a demon possession. That's all it was, you know. And it just creates a chaos. That's what the devil's all doing. Just a destruction is all he can do. And if he can get a little confusion in there, a little, as we just read there, everything that causes pain is because of envying and confusion and strife and all these things. And I watch so many people get up there and try to pray for him. And it's just despair. Oh, Jesus, help us. You show me how do you get rid of devils that way. Too many people, don't let it be us, try to pray devils out. Because you've made prayer a religious act. Prayer is communication. Prayer is talking. And we're to pray to God. I don't got any words to waste with the devil. Besides, I've got commandments for him. Get out. Walk in dry places. Leave my family alone. Get this sickness out of my son. Hallelujah. And I remember going down there and said, what is all this? What are we doing? And some of y'all were there. And I just went and the Holy Spirit got hold of me. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out. And that was it. The devil will give you a little froth a little bit longer. He did it to the lunatic man. We understand. They thought he was dead. He said, he's fine. Just go pick him up. That's right. The devil gets that little last punch he gets, and he knows he's got to leave, and he's got to obey the word. That's right. Amen. Hallelujah. Devil obeys the word better than man does, I tell you. God help us. We're the only thing that seems to fight him about his word. Look, even the devils believe in God.
Sure do.
Bible says that. And they tremble. How much more are we to believe in God? And if you're still in sin, how much more you ought to be trembling?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Don't live in the things of the world. Come out.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Reading here about wisdom. Hallelujah. Coming out of the book of James. He said, who is a wise man and dude with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Now we could go the gifts of God, and there's wisdom, there's knowledge, and all the way down, speaking in tongues and miracles and things. But really, as Brother Branham said, the greatest of all gifts is wisdom. Now, that wisdom is not the wisdom of the world.
Amen.
That wisdom is not your intellect, as so many have been told. So many have taught, so many preachers have said, oh man, look at the wisdom he's got. No, he just knows how to read quotes and put them together. The Bible says this. Let me just quote it to you to save a little time. I've already went half hour on just that. Proverbs 3:5, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. 1 Corinthians 2. And I'll just start at verse 1 if you want to turn there, that's wonderful. 1 Corinthians 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. There he's talking about carnal wisdom, his own intelligence. Because if there's anyone who had it in the Scripture in that way, better than anyone, it was Saul. Saul of Tarsus. He knew that Bible through and through, up and down. He was taught on the Gamaliel. He said, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. But he said, I did not come to you in any of that. Now, it doesn't throw out wisdom altogether. We're talking about throwing out worldly wisdom for the wisdom of God.
Amen.
For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Amen.
Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, that comes to nothing.
Amen.
But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. What's the wisdom of God? Is that the Word is always good enough. The Word is what the believer needs. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And the wisdom of God said, that's all I need.
Amen.
The wisdom of God said, I just need that one sacrifice, that one man who can come and die for the sins of the world, go back to the Father, take the book out of the right hand,
yes,
and show the sons of God the hidden wisdom.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That's it.
The wisdom of God is not intellect, it's power.
Amen.
The wisdom of God will take a rank sinner.
Yes.
It'll take a prostitute, it'll take a drunk, and make him a saint of God. It'll take a man who's the most selfish, self-centered person in the world, sell everything he has for everyone else. Hallelujah. And if that life isn't starting to bubble up out of you, brother, sister, I've got one message for you. It's back to Calvary. It's back to that bleeding, bloody lamb, because you're still stuck in man's wisdom, not in God's hidden wisdom. I say it's a warning to us that believe this message of the hour. Too many spirits are tacking on the hidden wisdom that God has given us through the opening of the seals.
Right.
The opening of the Word. And begin to put man's reasoning to it. And what's it doing? It's taking away the hidden wisdom to where you can't believe you're a son of God no more.
Right.
Where you can't see that you're a daughter of God. That you were foreordained from the foundation of the world to be here. I got to say that. See, we think we're here haphazard.
No.
You could have lived in the days of David. You could have lived in the days of Moses. You could have been here when Jesus came in flesh. You could have been here in the days of Luther. God's so determined to put you here.
Amen.
Exactly.
Hallelujah. He didn't put you here to lose you. His wisdom said, that son, I'll just say me, you say it for yourself, that Andrew Crusell needs to come right here.
Right.
He needs to be born this time. I need to meet him at this time. That's the wisdom of God. How many people, and I'm just going to have to bring it home. How many would have thought that I'd have to have the past that I did? I could have grown up in the message. I didn't.
Right. Right.
Some people say, well, is that perfect will? I don't know, brother, sister. We do so many things permissive. I wonder how many times we live in a permissive will. Just be honest. That's true. But God knew in his wisdom when to work it out. We've all been there. I don't know how many times I've seen people try to put a roof on, ain't even got a brick or foundation yet.
Right.
Trying to get the gifts of the Spirit and trying to work in miracles. It's like you don't even pray.
Uh-huh.
You don't even read your Bible. You don't even come to church.
Uh-huh.
We got plenty to say you don't need to no more. We can just sit at home and listen to tapes. And said, man, that's a mighty good monk religion, but that ain't what God never called us to.
Amen.
That just shows how selfish you are. Because you know what happens when you get people involved? You get problems. It's just going to happen. But like we spoke on last week, just because offenses come doesn't mean you get all worked up about it.
Right.
Tide it through and say, Lord, it's all right. It'll work out just fine. This wave's coming. I'll just stand up a little taller for right now. I'll give a little bit more grace for my brother than I'm used to. And we'll come back to normal fellowship again. That's right. And we can get more believers to take personal responsibility. Personal responsibility for being a Christian. How about personal responsibility for your walk with God?
Amen.
It ain't your pastor's fault. It ain't your church's fault. It ain't your wife's fault, husband. And it ain't your husband's fault, wives.
That's right.
And parents, it ain't our children's fault.
That's right.
Lord, help me. I'll tell you what, there's plenty of times I said, Lord, can I just have 5 minutes to myself with you? Because I got 3 screaming voices all the time through this place. And I just need some quiet. But look, God's wisdom put 3 little children in my house. If I go to the wisdom of men, I'll say, God made a mistake. Ooh, glory. We don't like to say that out loud, but your word is not your words out of your mouth. It's what you're living.
Yes.
When God said his word, he said the word was made flesh. It wasn't just a textbook.
Right.
It was a man.
Yes.
Who had emotions, had feelings, who had to be led up by the Spirit, as we understand. Hallelujah. But even the Son of God himself. Are you going to give me some time this morning?
Amen.
I already went long, but we're going to go long.
Amen.
Just go ahead and snuggle in and say, Lord, let's put that baby in 5th gear. We'll be all right. Set the cruise control. I'm here to praise the Lord. Your back start hurting, we'll get up and praise the Lord. It'll be all right. There ain't no Velcro in the pews, Brother Roy, is there? It's just fine. You can stand right up anytime you want. Hallelujah. the wisdom of God. We don't need the wisdom of men, brother, sister. God don't want us to figure this out. We just read it right there in the Bible that if we base on that wisdom, it's going to come to naught. And that's why when you've watched these moves come out of the message, and we know, anybody's got the Spirit of God could tell there's something wrong about that. And I remember thinking about it, things, I didn't really know any details of it, but I knew something in my heart said, that's not the right thing. I can't explain it here, but I can here. And then I saw it there. And that settled it for me. I didn't care what you got to say about it. I thank God that I had that experience. I'm glad I have a natural knack for that, actually. God's used it even when I was in the world. I didn't care what you thought. Yeah, I tell you, I don't know how many, 95% of my high school career, I was wearing sweatpants. I don't care. I'd dress up. The only reason I wore jeans because we had to wear our jerseys on Friday, and I wanted to kind of look a little nice then. But other than that, why? Because God, that was perverted. How many knows that? Because we ought to love one another. All right, that was perverted. But when it came to the Lord, I thank Him because now I only care about His opinion. And I've had to, as much as me and my dad agree, there's times when we disagree. You know what we both do? We both serve the Lord. That's right. There ain't no family bond that goes beyond the bond of God's family.
Amen.
Woo, glory to God. Too many people got a family bond. Ain't got, and then the people, the church, I just don't like them. They're just weird. And that's just, why don't you be the one that's not weird? Gandhi said one thing I appreciated. The Buddhist guy there, Hindu, whatever he is, I don't remember. But Gandhi said, be the change you want to see in the world. I said, you know what? That's pretty good. That's pretty good. You know, I've seen people, they just hear all service. That's what they do. I remember they were sitting in the back and I was up in the front. We had a good annoying time. I was enjoying myself in service, praising the Lord and everything. And I got out of service and got talking with the brother a little bit. He said, you know what? That's the way church ought to be. That was really good. I said, then why aren't you doing it? As Brother Bram said, if it's a good idea, let's not just sit here and say, well, that's a nice idea. Let's do it.
Amen.
He's talking about church order. If this is the way it's going to work and this is the way we ought to do it, then let's just do it. Why are we fiddling around about it?
Amen.
Do it the way we're supposed to do it.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm sure glad Noah didn't waste his time thinking about a better way than God's way. He just did it God's way. Because I hate to break it to you, brother, sister, had that not happened, we'd all not be here.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Your actions affect so much more than you can realize.
Sure.
And when we go trying to base things on our logic or my upbringing or I'm this and I'm that, and you know in your heart, if you've got the Holy Ghost, you know whether it was the Word or not.
Amen.
All these little divergences, we said these two souls and thunders and everything that's gone off in different directions from this message, what's happening to every one of them? Coming to naught.
Sure.
Found out, wow, they were living in adultery. They were at prostitutes' house and doing all kinds of filth, some smoking pot and get all worked up about Christmas and then got pot in the house. Just show you the devil behind it. That's right. Hallelujah. God gives us convictions. He gives us grace. But the grace is to be extended to others as well. And don't tell me God anointed you to preach against someone else and you ain't even living for the Lord yourself. Hey, man, God don't run that program that way. Amen. All right, let me read this. Out of the Pool of Bethesda, 1950, come out of sermon. He says, the greatest success I ever had was amongst people who could hardly read or write. But now I'm not trying to support my ignorance or prejudice, but I'll say the biggest hindrance that the gospel of Jesus Christ has ever had has been this modern day education. That's exactly right, even in the ministry. They've explained everything out of the Bible. The blood, the days of miracles, the powers, it's all explained out. And dear friends, don't you know that worldly wisdom is the thing that destroys the world? In the Garden of Eden, there were two trees. One of them was a tree of life. When man ate of that tree, he lived forever. The other tree was a tree of knowledge, which was the tree of death, which was the tree of sickness. And then he goes on about how man's been feeding off that tree for so long. And he says, man, he destroys himself with his gunpowder. If it's electrical light, pulls his gas out of the earth, wisdom to run to and fro, knowledge shall increase. And they've brought themselves a hydrogen bomb now. I don't know what they're going to do. Automobiles, every time a man. God destroys nothing. Man destroys himself by worldly wisdom. The first conflict that ever came in the world was because that somebody was seeking after worldly wisdom in the stead of simple faith in God. Oh my. Listen to this. You say, Dr. So-and-so doesn't believe it. That doesn't change God's word a bit. Remember, you're not saved by wisdom. You're not saved by your education. You are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Forget about your education. Be simple in your own doctrine. Be simple in your own doctrine. I'll tell you what, when we go to explain what we believe and it takes us a five-month seminar to get it to some convert about what we believe, we've missed it. Hallelujah. When you go reading the sermons in the Bible, they're pretty short.
Yes, they are.
Why? Because they knew what to say and they said it and that was it. Who knows? Peter might have took a half hour or so on the day of Pentecost up there on his soapbox preaching to whoever would listen. And he got on and saying about the word. He said, you done crucified the Lord. You're claiming to serve. You just put him on the cross. And now we're witnesses that he lives.
Amen.
And what did these men do? They could see it. They had enough revelation of God to see that man's blood is on our hands.
Uh-huh.
We're the ones that got him killed. And brother, sister, before you think that you are righteous and holy, the blood of Jesus Christ is on every one of our hands until we accept it in our hearts.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When we see Barabbas, we see he was an extortioner, he was a thief, he had caused insurrection, as we understand, he was a murderer. He was a filth of the world. That wasn't Barabbas, that was you and I.
Right.
Sure was.
And here come the proclamation, who will you choose, Jesus or Barabbas? And they let us go free. Hallelujah. Don't tell me that people chose that. Jesus chose that.
Amen.
He could have delivered himself any moment he wanted to. People think the Romans killed Jesus. No, they didn't. People think the Jews killed Jesus. No, they didn't. Jesus allowed himself to die. And when the word came forth, you can go free. Barabbas didn't even take a thought. He said, no, wait. I'm going free? I'm going free? Don't you know what I've done? But it shows you the way of a sinner. Well, all right, cool. I've watched people come to service with demons on them. Spirit of God come down, deliver them. I said, oh, that was nice. Okay, cool. Just walk out and never see him again.
Right.
There's something different. Jesus, one time, he healed 10 lepers. And if you've ever dealt with leprosy or even seen anything about it, it's the nastiest thing out there. Just eat away. You just disintegrate, essentially. And he went and just healed 10 lepers, just out of the kindness of the Lord's heart. You see yourself in your sin now? The Lord comes by the kindness of his heart. You didn't seek him, he sought you. You ain't here by accident. You're here because the Lord's seeking you. Amen. If he's not seeking you to get you, he's seeking you to get you closer.
Amen.
Amen. But all 10 walked away. But there was one out of that group. And someone in their heart began to move and say, wait a minute. Who can heal but God? Who can take away leprosy? That must be the Son of God. That must be the King of Kings. And he turned around and he fell on his knees and he worshipped him. What did Jesus say? Where's the other 9? Where are the other ones? And too many people get troubled by that. If God really did miracles, how could people disbelieve? You don't understand how lost some people are. As I told you about Cain, God came to him face to face, told him exactly, said, just do what your brother did, and I'll accept you. I'll make you his ruler. I'll let you be the pastor. That's right. You can do it. You'll be just fine. Do what your brother did. And then it says that Abel and Cain went out and started talking. I'm sure Abel just poured out his heart to Cain. Said, Cain, I know what you are, know what you've done, but look, this ain't about me. This is the Word. And if you just do what the Word says, you'll be saved.
Amen.
And because of that jealousy, because of that pure blindness over that serpent seed, that's what he was. Not only did he reject the Word, but he killed anyone that talked about it. Went and killed Abel, his brother. Here come God again.
Right.
Where's your brother? Look at the arrogancy of the devil. You don't understand how full of pride that rotten old devil really is. He's such a stuffed shirt, you ain't never seen a shirt stuffed that much. If he was standing here, he'd hit Brother John in the face with his shirt because he's stuffed up with himself so much.
Sure.
And he went and said, where's your brother? He said, I'm on my brother's keeper. You go tend to it. He said, I can hear his voice crying from his blood. The blood speaks, brother, sister. And I love how the Hebrews, book of Hebrews picks that up and says, the blood of Abel came up. What did it say? Bring justice on Cain. And God brought justice on him, as we understand. He walked a vagabond all his days with a seal on him that don't touch him, let him live in this torture. That's right. But the blood of Jesus Christ speaks better things.
Amen.
Why? Because as Barabbas went away, he was forgiven. As we went away, we were forgiven. He took our place to the place that the wisdom of God could come to us and we could see things that angels dare to see.
Right.
We could see things that the devil don't know a thing about. And we're the most filthy, unrighteous creatures in the world. But someone says, I love you.
Amen.
I love you anyways. I'll take you anyways. Brother, sister, what in the world are we thinking about anything else? Lord Jesus, you're worthy of my praise. You're worthy of my time. You're worthy of my effort. You're worthy of my life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You said you were going to give me time, but I don't know. Don't shut down on me now. Hallelujah. Turn with me, 1 Corinthians 1:21. It's right there close if you're still at that spot. Just 1:21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. And they're still trying to do it today. Us as Gentile believers, Gentile people, Greeks in that day, they're always trying to figure it out. Always trying to realize, well, what's the trick? What's the gimmick? How'd you do this? They've been doing it with every miracle. You go back in the Bible, they'll go explain to you how Moses crossed the Red Sea. It was a bed of reeds he crossed on. That wasn't no miracle. He just walked on reeds. Really? Then why did all the Egyptians trip and drown? The walls of Jericho came down because that's why they walked around to loosen up the bricks, so when they yelled, it was loud enough to bring them down. Brother, sister, that would be mighty fine. That might be true if it was, but there's one thing that's a miracle regardless. Why was Rahab's house still standing? She lived in the wall. Don't you go reading outside the word. No, she lived in the wall. The walls came crumbling down, but that one place where grace was found. And brother, sister, we're living in a world falling apart on every side. But if you'll just take that promise of the Holy Ghost, that token life on yourself, whole thing could crumble. You'll still be standing.
Amen.
The wisdom of God says, throw them in Laodicea. They'll still be standing.
Amen.
The wisdom of God says, let every devil go after them. They'll still overcome. Because it's not you overcoming, it's not I, it's the Word.
Amen.
You're telling me Jesus couldn't overcome this day? Hallelujah. You are when you're saying you can't do it. Because the same God, He's literally the same. That was the whole revelation of the Son of Man. I pray I'm preaching to someone. That was the whole point of unveiling the Son of Man, is that God still lives in human flesh today. The same God that walked in Peter. And all it took was a shadow passing by.
Right.
And people, divine healing took place right there.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Sure.
I love how the Bible, it's so perfectly written, brother, sister. I just read there at the end of Mark, the angel that was sitting, you sit at the end of Jesus' tomb there and inside. Just leave your place. I'll come back there. He's sitting there. And they come in and I love it. They're just the carnal mind. What was the wisdom of men as those women went down there? Who's going to move that big stone out of the way? The wisdom of men says, we got to get some strong guys. We got to get someone else involved. But the wisdom of God was moving in them. We don't need to worry about that. They just went down to the tomb. What were they going to do? They didn't know. But see, the Lord was leading them down there. And what happened? Stone's already out of the way. Well, that was nice. That was convenient. Find out later, there were angels pushed it out of the way. So they weren't little. It took angels to get them out of the way. Hallelujah. And then they said, well, we might as well go on in there. And they go on in, and the Bible says it just says a young man was sitting at the end in white clothes, just sitting there. Could you imagine walking in? What is that? I don't even know if he was shining or nothing. He could have just been sitting here in clothes. I said, who is that? And he said, go tell his disciples and Peter. Why did he say and Peter? Because a few days ago, it was a man who said, Lord, I'll never deny you. I don't care if we come death. I'm staying with the cause. And Jesus looked at him and says, before the cock crow twice, you're going to deny me three times. He said, I'll never do that, Lord. And what happened? He was out there. Jesus is getting taken inside. He's sitting there. He tried to fight with his sword and realized that didn't work too well. Now they're running around scared. He don't even know where to go. He's sitting out there, he's warming his hands up, and something comes up and says, hey, you know him, don't you? He said, I don't know what you're talking about. How many times have we been ashamed of him? Why you wear long hair? Well, I just like it.
Oh, this is coming home quick, isn't it? I get that about shorts. Why don't you wear shorts? I just don't care for them. Instead of what I really believe. Why don't you have a TV? I just don't. There ain't nothing I appreciate on it no more. How about it's a devil box? And you're letting all kinds of demons in your house all the time. How about the Lord showed me that I was an adulterous woman when I dressed that way? That God is giving me my hair not to lure men into lust, but to shine for the glory of God and to hang free. Come on now. Hallelujah. Why do you drive the speed limit? Well, I just don't want to worry about cops. I'm just letting this one soak in good. No, brother, sister, I do it because of what the Lord said. Because the wisdom of men says, this is the stupidest place to be 25 miles an hour. We can easily go 40 here. What does the wisdom of God say? Render under Caesar's. What is Caesar's? Render under God's. What is God's? Caesar, for whatever reason, has determined in our nation, his name's Obama, if you didn't recognize it yet, 25 through here. My car won't hardly go 25. Yes, it will. You know, one of the greatest inventions that helped me out is called cruise control. Just set it and forget it. Because at the end of the day, I've watched it happen. I praise the Lord for doing this. I've watched somebody trying to barrel through everything. Just, and I'm just cruising. Speed limit, you know. What happens? Somebody pulls out in front of them. And I go, passing them again. And then they go, rushing. And what happens? They get to the stop line. There's five cars in the way. Mine don't have any. I just roll right on past again. What is it? It's just to encourage you. God's way's the right way. Just stay. Even when you think you're going to get there faster, you're not. You're not. Just stay with the Word. Just stay with it. God's way. Too many times we think, well, I'll just buddy up with these guys. I'll just be a little sinful. That ain't no big deal. You know, just enough so they know that I'm not a total weirdo. And what do you find out? Your testimony's done ruined. You just one of us. What's the difference? Oh, you got some crazy religion, but when it's all done, you ain't no different. See, that's the wisdom of men, and it doesn't work, brother, sister. Only the wisdom of God works. Let's finish that scripture. It says, for after that wisdom, in wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto a Jews, a stumbling block, and unto Greeks, foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. What kind of person says, I'm going to send my leader of my religion to die? That's how he's going to conquer, Brother Dan. He's not going to pick up one sword and fight any wars. He's just going to lay his life down and die. Looks mighty foolish. Then you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a bunch of fishermen, can't even write their own name, and that's how I'm going to spread this around the world. That's right. And a man who's, as we said about Peter, he was just off the cuff all the time, running, lifting, right? Jesus always had to bring him back. Jesus looked him right in the face one time and says, get thee behind me, Satan. So what happened? I'm sure Peter was down in the dump so discouraged. I'm sure some of us were that way. It's too, when we got worried about the Word and not doing what God, we just got so far down, we didn't think God would ever get us. But what did the Word say? Go get my disciples and Peter. How about go get my disciples and your name? Why? Peter, you might have fallen away. You might have done some bad things, but you're still mine. You're still mine. I'm still giving you those keys anyways. What kind of person gives their keys to a renegade like Peter? What does it show? Yes, to the worldly wisdom, it's foolishness. Amen. Just like I saw a Muslim thing one time talking about, why would you guys have crosses and things? Why would you celebrate the death of your master? It's like, you don't understand. First off, he's not dead. He's the only one who got back up again. Hallelujah. Secondly, that cross represents what it took to bring us back to God. It's the most glorious symbol there ever could be. Hallelujah. Our way, brothers, sisters, we just read there. Our way and God's way are really your only two choices. You either will seek after your wisdom, your idea, which will always, if you stay that way and you start coming back to the Word, it will call it foolish. Don't you know how sick I am? I can't go to church. I need to go to the hospital. That came down quick, didn't it? Hallelujah. See, don't come to church. Come to Christ. Amen. You know, we talk about believing this message. Oh, really? They brought lunatics to Brother Branham's meetings.
Yes, they did.
They brought people in wheelchairs. They brought people that were supposed to die that day. Why, though? Why? It's because they believed that in that man was Jesus Christ. Amen. And if we believe that message, the prophet said the wave sheaf was brought forth, not the wave sheaf of Brother Branham, but the Holy Ghost in a consecrated life in this day, show that the blood of Jesus Christ actually worked.
Amen.
It took the human heart, our filthy, dirty, rotten heart, and made it just as pure.
Amen.
As the Son of God Himself.
Amen.
To where when God anoints you, brother, sister, you see how we got to get our faith to actually reach up and grab that promise.
Amen.
To say, God's not waiting on me to get to perfection. He's already done it.
Amen.
He's waiting on me to believe Him.
Yeah.
He's not. So many people want to work miracles, but you want to work it your own way. Do it God's way, which is just do what He said. Amen. Peter just walked in the Spirit. Here, there he is. He don't even know it. His shadow's healing people.
Right.
Oh, glory to God. Paul did the same thing. They had some handkerchiefs on him and stuff. And he said, oh yeah, go ahead and take these. They said it's just handkerchiefs taken from the body of Paul. Where does it say that they anointed and prayed? And I appreciate those things. But really, when it's all done, that's just little religious acts. What really got people healed was faith. That they believed it, just like Elijah. He had his staff. He knew that that thing's anointed.
Yeah.
But sometimes people ain't got faith for that. So they needed a man to come himself and lay himself on the body, and as you know, and raise that boy back up to life. Sometimes we need that too. Sometimes you need hands laid on you. Sometimes you need to fast and pray to get through. Hallelujah. Come on now. Don't get all cold on me. Sometimes you need those things to get to the place of faith to where you really believe it. Because
sure.
As long as you only believe it out of your mouth or in your head, there's no power behind it. But when you know from the depths of your soul, now don't give me some unregenerate soul, I'm talking about somebody who's received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, has brought that soul to life. I don't care how many devils, you're going to keep saying that word.
Amen.
And the bride's doing that now. Yes. Look, we got our flesh, we got our problems. The bride says, I'm a son of God.
Amen.
The daughter or sister say, I'm a daughter of God. I say, but look at you, I ain't looking at that. You see my face, right? It's just like Jesus. He was a flint to Calvary. The bride should be a flint to the resurrection.
Amen. Amen.
I like saying resurrection besides rapture because too many times people got the idea of a rapture from a movie instead of the Bible. It says the dead in Christ rise first. That's right. Then we'll see those. That's what I'm looking for.
Amen.
They're going to come through church? I doubt that, actually. I bet it'll be when we're at home just doing the dishes. And you all of a sudden, you know, your sister just singing to the Lord, praising Him. I pray you do. Brother just in there reading his Bible, all of a sudden, look up and say, wait, who's that? Your grandma sitting in the room. See, if you're not living for that hope, if you think that's a fairy tale, you don't believe this message. And you don't definitely believe the Bible. It says the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we'll be gathered together to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. I'm not looking just to walk off in the cloud sometime. God gave the bride one last thing to see before it happens. That's the resurrection. And that just showed, that just put your faith right through the roof. If that does, you ain't going to be there. You ain't going to be there. But once you see them, some of you got dead low. You say, well, I don't know if I know any saints that's passed on. Well, you tell me how Peter, James, and John knew that was Moses and Elijah on Mount Transfiguration, and I'll tell you how you'll know that that's saints walking through your house.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, let's just take our way and throw it in the trash today. Can we do that? Say, Lord, let me walk my way with the despised few. Let me stay right on that word wherever I go. Let me read this now. It's coming out of God's way that's been made for us, 1952. So there's two ways a man can go. That's His way and God's way. That's the right way and the wrong way. Your way is always the wrong way. Lord, just rub it right in our hearts. Our way is always the wrong way. And God's way is the right way. And you can't be in your own way, in God's way, at the same time.
Sure.
You've got to get out of your own way so God can have His way in you. That's right. God makes a provided way. Man has always always wanted to make his own way. In the Garden of Eden, he made a man so he didn't have to shift for himself. God made him perfect, but man wanted his own way. He wanted to tamper. He wanted to find out. And then as soon as he fell, went through this week and studied the scriptures. He made himself a religion. He didn't wait for God to make him one. He made himself one. And he found out that his religion, his covering, wouldn't work. That's always been man. He wants his own way, but God had a way. So man made fig leaves and put them over him and his wife. But when he come down to face God, he found out that wouldn't work. And I tell you, friends, that's been many a man and is tonight that's coming down to the end of the road. We'll find out that little shallow religion that you're holding on to won't work. Amen. Nothing short of being born again will work. Amen. Jesus said, except a man be born of water and spirit, he'll in no wise enter into the kingdom. No wise. No matter if he's Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, whatever he is, that includes message. Do I have to say that or do we know that? Amen. Whatever it is, he will not enter until he's born of water and spirit. Born means he's changed. He has to die before he can be born. So you got to die to yourself, be reborn again in Christ Jesus. That's right. Coming out of Y 1961, give me a few more minutes today. I know the Lord's speaking to us this afternoon. He said, a great minister in my country brought a magazine over not long ago. And he said, Billy, I want to ask you something. He said, here's so-and-so went on talking. He said, and you got hooked on with the Holy Rollers. And said, now I hear you're talking about the new birth. Said, don't you think we have the new birth? They believe they have the new birth when they believe. And Brother Branham, he said, well, I said, how much different than that is from Paul's teaching? And Paul said in Galatians 1:8, if an angel from heaven taught anything else, let him be accursed. And Paul asked them in Acts 19, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Not when you believe, but since you believed. Now, the thing of it is that they're trying to dodge that new birth. They've got too much prestige. They've got too much head knowledge. Whenever you get to a place that you feel you're just a little better than somebody else, when you get to a place that you think your stand in life is just a little higher than the other one, you ain't going to get it anyhow. That's right. But there's one thing about the new birth. It'll make a tuxedo suit and a pair of overalls put their arms around one another and call each other brethren. It'll make a gingham suit. I don't know what their dress. You sisters might know. Gingham dress and a silk dress, put their arms around one another and call each other sister. Whenever you really get down to business with God, that's right. Man sees, and this is where I'm closing on, man sees his dire need of God, but he refuses to accept God's way of doing things. And when God begins to do His way for those that do believe Him, He gets ashamed of it. We've had too many people get that intellectual idea into the message. And when the Holy Ghost begins to move on a soul, what do they do? Just like the Pharisees, He said, you won't enter in yourself, Pharisee. And you stopped those that were entering. And then we'll say, I've watched it happen. I've watched people get talked out. And they said, God, don't let me never just sit on the side and watch that ever again. People go to give their heart to the Lord and begin to press through. What does some minister come and say? Oh, you're okay. You're fine. Just go on. And really, what are they doing? They're embarrassed because you're making a scene. They're embarrassed because you're disrupting the way they do things. Well, if the way you do things ain't saving souls, it needs disrupted on every side. What's the point of the gospel besides to bring men back to fellowship with God by any means necessary? Any way that God has given us in His Word, He is allowed to have His way. That is church order. Amen. Is that Christ dictates the order in the service. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't care if you got to cry, yell, scream, holler, that you get what you need from God. That's just the reason you don't get it. You're too worried about what somebody else thinks about you. If we worship God from our hearts all the time, you wouldn't need to write songs. You wouldn't need any pulling. There'd be something just a bubbling up. Nobody make you raise your hands. You'd be raising them. Yeah. Nobody tell you, let's praise the Lord. Somehow you'd be praising Him. Amen. Because you didn't come to a place. You came to a person. Amen. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm going to bring this right to the Word, brother, sister, because I believe this with all my heart. It comes out of the invisible union of the bride of Christ, 1965. And if a woman, he'll type it out with the church, but just stay with me. And if a woman won't have a baby for her husband, she'll take a dog or a cat or something. She's got to mother something. It's a nature. But to bear a child for her husband and raise it to the service of God, that's entirely out of line. She'd be so disgraced if she did by her sin-loving society. Says of the 1965 type of woman, same as 2016, that's right. A true picture of the modern church today Neither does the modern church want any of these here screaming, shouting, tongue speaking Acts 2:38 youngins around her. Yeah, you see, she don't want any of them whooping and crying and screaming, amen, hallelujah. Why, such a child would immediately put her out of her denomination. They had one like that in one of the churches. Why, they'd throw her out right quick. Why you let such a things as this go along? So you see, she's, the worldly church now, is pregnated with something because she's bringing forth members all the time. But she don't want none of them screaming, hollering, blabbering, Act 238, miserable creatures that she thinks they are. It would certainly embarrass her. It would ruin her and her educated, ethical, science society church that she belongs to here. They would throw her out at the next council. She can't have it. So, here's the conclusion. She don't want to be pregnated with the Word because that's the only kind the Word can bring forth. Oh, glory to God. Born of the Spirit of God, it has the Spirit of God in it. No intellectual church joining, creed going, bobbed hair, painted face. There's no such a thing as that in it at all. You don't find that in the Word of God. You find an old-fashioned, sanctified, Holy Ghost-filled child, born of the Spirit of God, screaming, hollering, shouting, praising God. And not praising God because some man told them to or some religion, but out of the love, out of their hearts for their Savior. They can't help but bubble over and love Him. They can't help but give Him praise. Job said he was there meeting with God, and he finally asked the right question. He says, I see man die, but he doesn't raise again. Where's God? What's going to happen to me when I die? And God came down in the whirlwind, and He said, here's the earth. It's hanging on nothing. You tell me how it's there. Where were you when I fashioned it and lined it upon nothing and built and made the stars? Where were you, Job?
Yes.
When I saw all the sons of God shouting for joy. Why? Because they weren't just saved from taxes. They didn't just get a new job, but their souls were redeemed back to their Maker. Eternal life was back in full view. They saw the plan of God from eternity to eternity and said, it doesn't matter what happens. We're going to be there. We're going to be there, and oh God, help the children of God open their eyes. Those that's received, if you've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I don't care what happens in life, you're going to be there.
Amen.
Hallelujah, you're going to be there. And we're already translated there now, and the down payment has been placed in our hearts toward what Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. My name they'll cast out devils. My name, they'll speak with new tongues. Hallelujah!
Amen.
They'll take up deadly things that won't hurt them. They'll lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover.
Yes.
What did Brother Branham say in the Church Age book? Actually, I do have that quote. Let me read it to you. It's coming out of it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. It says, when names are called and diseases revealed, Satan hates it. Now, what is this? It's not mind reading. It's not telepathy, nor is it witchcraft. It's a revelation by the Holy Ghost. That is the only way I can know it. Of course, the carnal mind will call it anything but the Holy Ghost. They might even call it that brother's gift. Oh, I'm bringing that home real quick. If you trusted in a brother's gift, it's going to fail. Just so God knows, you won't put your faith in that, but you'll put faith in the Holy Ghost. Because the gifts of God are not like a sword in my hand that I go and chop into. The gift of God is I stand over here and God's allowed to have His way. When you yield yourself, that's all it is. It's not anything of my own reasoning, not of my own thinking. I need to act on the wisdom of God. That when God gives you a revelation, oh my, we think it's so simple. It could be sometimes a sister, I've watched them just the anointing come on them. And I know they need to go pray with so-and-so. That's all it is. They need to go pray with that sister because the Holy Spirit, it's really a gift of faith. That's what it is. Go over there. But what happens? Well, I don't want to get out of order. That's your reasoning. And you stop the move of God right there. Well, if I was a minister, I'd do it. Or supposed to be the minister. It's supposed to be this. No, your position is not a minister. My position is not a minister. That's not even what I'm talking about. My position is a son of God.
Amen.
Your position's a son and daughter of God. And that position rules over the devil 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and from time to eternity. Never was the church subject to be under the devil.
Amen.
Man always puts himself there, and God does all He can in His power to bring man back up to his rightful position.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Of course, the carnal mind will call it anything but the Holy Ghost. But let me show you another reason why Satan hates this book of Revelation of Jesus Christ and the church. He knows that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever, and he changes not. He knows that a whole lot more than do 90% of the theologians. He knows that since God is immutable in his nature, then he is immutable in his ways. Thus, Satan knows assuredly that the original church at Pentecost with the power of God, Mark 16 in action, is the true church that Jesus claims as his own. All else is false. It has to be. Now remember this, Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts.
Amen.
Hallelujah! Some people read Acts like a history, brother. I look at it as a quota. That's right. When I look at the situation and I see what they went through in the Bible, sure, there were times where, you know what, they were in such a place, Paul had to creep out through a window somewhere in a basket and run for his life. But at the same time, the same man one time was getting stoned. And he laid there on the ground under a bunch of stones. Good thing he had some faithful disciples come over, raise him back from the dead. That's right. Pulled the stones up on him. He stood back up, walked right back in the same city. Started preaching again. Why? He wasn't basing it on his wisdom. He based it on the wisdom of God. That wherever he tells me to go, that's where I need to be. So he went right there. He got out. You know, they had the ship. He said, you know, we should have went a certain way, but you guys didn't listen to me. So, but I'm here to tell you, we're all going to live. But the ship's done for.
Right.
And sure enough, the ship wrecks on the shore and it bursts to pieces. And they all float off and get on land. And what happens? Paul's up there. I'm sure he felt real courageous, didn't he? I'm sure he felt like he had a really great ministry, didn't he? Out there and just shipwrecked, just walking with like a common felon. And what happens? All of a sudden, he looks at his hand and feels something. Snake done bit him. Not to these little garden snakes that we got here. Mama come up and got him. The natives said, oh, well, looks like you reap what you sow. You know, they believe in karma. I pray we don't believe in that nonsense. Believe in what the Word said. There ain't karma. It's the Holy Ghost. It's that God knows what happened. And whatever you sow, you're going to reap. That's what it ain't. It ain't some mystic force we don't know nothing about. We know the force. I know him by name.
Amen.
Name's the Lord Jesus. That's right. And he remembered the promise. Said, he'll take up serpents and they won't harm him. He said, wait, I'm here in the name of the Lord. What in the world? He said, get off my hand. He threw him right in the fire. And those natives said, well, he escaped the shipwreck, but, you know, he must have done something wrong because he's going to die now.
Right.
And then they kept looking at him. And he wasn't doing nothing. He's just sitting there. He probably just stirring the fire and said, man, Lord, what am I even doing here? Like we are too many times. Just another service again. I mean, I've still got these chains on. I'm still... Actually, I think they might have let him go at that point. They realized he saved all their lives. They could at least let him walk around. That's right. They should have died without him. And they kept looking at that man and said, that man ought to be dead. And he's still standing. He's still standing. That person, I know their past. I know what they went through. I know the churches they came out of. How are they still standing? That destroyed me. What that minister did to me made my life havoc. Why are they okay? Paul wasn't basing it on none of that. He didn't care about no sermon. You remember what Jesus said? They'll take up sermons that won't cause them any harm.
Right.
The natives looked on him so long. You know what happened? They went from thinking he was a sinner that should die to thinking he was God. They did. They said, this man must be God. And they went to worship him. They were close. Because God was in him. The Son of God was manifested out of that life, and he was a part of the God that they were looking to serve. But he said, you went to the Galatians, you're all too far superstitious, you're looking for little feelings and things, but I'm here to pronounce to you the name of this unknown God. He lives in my heart. He's the one not only has word, but the word is power. The whole wisdom of God is the power of God. Every time we read the scriptures, those two things are locked together, because if you can only know the way God thinks about something, you can tap into the way God would do it, and there's so much power to back that up. Every devil in hell scurries away from it.
Sure.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Paul left that place. We understand his ministry went on from there on out to all the world, just like Jesus said it would. He said, preach it to all the world. It's made it to America, brother, sister. Do you think those disciples had any foresight to see that? But the wisdom of God says, this is how you preach. You go from pillar to post. You go from jail to jail. But do what the Spirit says. You know, we just read that out of Corinthians and some of those other books that we read from. You know where Paul penned those things? Amen. While he's in jail. And we think, oh man, if God was going to do a mighty thing, it'd be this way, that way. That's the wisdom of men. The wisdom of God says, as long as we got the real, true, genuine Holy Ghost, we could be in rink-a-dink Defiance, Ohio, at a makeshift, what was this? A beauty parlor. You might not know it, but there's plumbing behind this, brother, sister. Praise the Lord for trustees got rid of that one over there. Maybe we'll get rid of these at some point, but could take that and use a group of people that believe Him to bring down the exact same God that heals the sick, the exact same God that raises the dead, the exact same God that discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. I don't believe that as history.
No way.
I believe it was in history, but I believe it's alive today.
Amen.
Not in language, not in my mind, but I've watched the power of God manifest itself the same way. You know how to do it? You want to know the secret? Just believe it.
Amen.
Believe it with all that's in you. Don't let one thought of doubt come, because it will. I'm going to teach you this for the last few minutes. Here, you got a few more?
Amen.
Thank you. That every time, I can't think, without exception, there's never been a time the devil just sits on the corner when discernment comes, or when the power of God or prophecy and all those things that you've seen happen in this building. Most of you have been here for this. There ain't one time I haven't had a thought, what are you doing? There ain't one time I've had a thought, it ain't going to happen. There ain't one time where the devil's just sat on there and said, well, I guess I lost this one. He'll fight till his last breath. But if you just ignore him, you just don't pay him no attention, you just keep saying what that word says. You know, you got something ailing your body. I don't care if you're 5 years old. I don't care if you're 100. If God's placed that promise on your heart, you deny everything you feel.
Sure.
You deny everything you sense. You don't worry about your flesh. Don't worry about your spirit. Get down in the soul. It says, the Lord brought me to this. He's going to bring me out.
Amen.
The Lord is my healer. I shall not be moved. I'm going to be just fine. He said, you can't even raise your hand. You're hurting so bad. You say, really, devil? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Your throat's hurting so bad you can't sing. Do it anyways. I'm telling you. See, and the devil will tell you lying to yourself, but if you'll just put that word on your heart and recognize, I'm not doing this presumptuously. I'm doing this on what Jesus told me. I'm doing this on what God told me. And God's word is the power of God.
Amen.
Who would think that man getting behind a pulpit and speaking would take souls and pull them out of darkness and bring them to life? But the Bible says, by the foolishness of preaching, souls are saved.
Amen.
Jews are looking for signs. Too many of us got a Jew spirit on us, don't we? Still waiting on signs. God's already done all the signs He promised.
Good.
In case you wanted to see His face, He put it right over the sky, didn't He?
Amen.
Took a picture of it for you and everything.
Amen.
Gave you the signs to show you that it can't physically happen.
Amen.
Oh no, that rocket did it. Really? That's interesting. I've yet to see a rocket blow up. And the smoke lasts longer than the 50 seconds it was up there. And it sure didn't make a nice picture of anything, nor stay in spot for, I don't know, half hour. I forget how long it was they took pictures of the thing. A state and a half over. And it was in California, and it just floated all the way over to Arizona. And just no problems, just smoke. See, the wisdom of men is foolishness when you've got a revelation from God. We've got so many voices trying to get you to doubt what's happening in this ministry. Not even just mine, ministry of the prophet, the ministry of the Bible in general. We've got every voice trying to get us to reason away from it. But it's still true. It's still true, brother, sister. If you've got the least bit of faith in divine healing, it'll bring it to pass. Jesus said, if you even got a mustard seed, I wish I would have wore that today. How many seen my tie chain's got mustard seeds in it? I think there's 30-something of them, and the thing's smaller than this cross is. He said, if you could just take that. Jesus said, you see that mountain over there? Throw it in the ocean. It'll obey you. He wasn't just being hypothetical. Now, we got mountains in our life, and I believe it'd do the same, but I believe a physical mountain could jump into an ocean just the same. The same God made the world. How did oceans and waters get there anyways in the mountains? He's still the Creator, brother, sister, and the same Creator manifested Himself in the Son of God to the place where He could turn around. And said, you think this is telepathy? Let me show you. And the prophet of God would say, your name's so-and-so. You're from here. You're this. You've got this infirmity. What was it? Jesus Christ showing himself that he's still alive. Some of us still think it was Brother Branham doing that. And that's why we can't do it no more. It was still the prophet of God, and those things just died with the prophet. Brother, sister, the prophet, you show me one time Brother Branham said that's the way it's going to happen. You show me one time he says, I need to come back to get this straightened out because I couldn't do it right the first time. No, brother, sister, it's time to act on God's wisdom. Why would God bring his prophet 50 years before the end of the world? Why did he tell Abraham he'd have a son 25 years before it got here? Why did he tell Isaiah, a virgin conceived, 700 years before it got here and let him kill him before he could even vindicate his prophet in front of these people? It just shows you God don't care what the devil thinks about it. God's going to do what he wants in his word because he wants to do it. All things were created by him and for him.
Amen.
You can be selfish if you want to. I'm sorry, you're not the creator. You don't get to call it. But God does. Amen. God can do it the way he wants to. And this is the way it's supposed to be, brother, sister. We're here in Laodicea, but we're overcomers.
Amen.
We're here with devils on every side, but we're going to go in a resurrection anyways. And we're going to be trampling the devil under our feet the whole way. Let's stand together today.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to you.
Praise him with all your heart today.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Oh, we love you, Lord.
Oh, praise him with all that's in you, brother, sister. The world's celebrating Independence Day, but we're celebrating our independence from the things of the world, from the sins of life, from our greatest enemy, even ourselves, brother, sister. We've been given victory over it.
Hallelujah.
How we appreciate a nation to worship God and freedom. But what would it be like if we were still in bondage to our souls? But Christ has come. He set us free. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
I just got to praise him. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. If you don't know, it's 151. Hallelujah. But that's you and me. Yeah, you're going to have to. You can hear my voice, can't you? Y'all help me out here. Let's praise.
And I can say I'm one of them. Yes, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. So glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Oh, I'm one of them.
I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Oh, let's praise him now. Give him worship.
I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them, hallelujah, I'm one of them, praise the Lord. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
That's Lord, thank you, Jesus.
I'm one of them, I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Let's just sing the chorus today. Believe it with all your heart.
I'm one of them, I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Oh, hallelujah.
I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Oh, believe it with all your heart. Sing it again.
I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them, I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Sing it again, sing it again.
I'm one of them, I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Oh, hallelujah,
I'm one of them. So glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Give him a clap offering today. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name. Thank you for calling me out of darkness, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Yes, Lord. With all your heart now, I'm one of them.
I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Yes, Lord,
I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I I'm so glad that I
one last time. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Oh, give him praise. Give him worship. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Oh,
let's give me a seed, Dad. If you don't know it, flow through me. Flow through me, Holy Spirit.
Flow through me, Holy Spirit. Flow through me.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah.
Flow through me, Holy Spirit.
Flow through me as I lift my hands in worship. Thank you, Lord.
As I lift my hands in worship. And to magnify thy name, flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me.
Believe it with all that's in you. The Holy Spirit here with us today. Flow through us, Lord.
Flow through me.
Let him have his way. Yield your heart to the Spirit today. Bowed, each one before him. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, spoke in us today. Brother, sister, where do you find yourself? Are you serving him? Have you been born again of the Spirit of God? If you haven't, it's nothing to be ashamed about. It's something to take place today. How do I get born again, brother? Peter had preached to them on the day of Pentecost. He said earlier, he said, you've crucified the Lord, the one you claim to serve. Hallelujah. The men came to him, said they were pricked in their heart. He said to Peter and the disciples, men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved? He didn't give them a bunch of books and a bunch of tracts and spend all day and afternoon. He said, this one thing you need to do. Repent. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you. We could stop right there. The promise is unto you as an individual. It's to our children, it's those afar off. But today, we need to take that promise that, Lord, it's to me. If you're still living in sin, repent of your ways. Don't worry about someone else judging you. Don't worry about if anybody else even looking right now. Please respect one another. Respect the Lord. Let's say, Lord, forgive me my sin. That's why we raise hands. We're surrendering. Anyone from any nation, if you rose your hands, would know you meant you're surrendering. God bless you, saints, brothers and sisters. God bless you. God deliver you. God bring you free from those things of the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give your whole heart to Him, brothers and sisters. The greatest decision you'll ever make. Don't give Him half your heart. Give it all. Give it all to the Lord. Don't let the devil give you some wisdom. Well, you could still have these things in the world. He's just trying to leave it there to poison you later. Don't worry about them things in the world. If you haven't been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, I adjure you to have faith and say, Lord, I come with no righteousness of my own, but I come to die. That's why we baptize you. We baptize you because it's a representation of death. That you're dying to who you were, and now you're raised anew in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Is there anyone who say, Lord, I want to receive the Holy Ghost? God bless you, saints. Don't worry about knowing it. Just not to me now. I can't give it to you. Only the Lord can give you the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. God bless you, saints. Praise the Lord. Keep seeking Him now. Seeing with all that's in you, you'll get it. You can't keep from it. God wants you to get it so bad. You could take all the water in the world and put it on a pin needle. That's the kind of pressure God has on you to give you the Holy Ghost. All you need to do is surrender. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't worry about no one else. I keep seeing that. We don't need to worry about no one else. It's between you and Him. It's between you and Him. Don't get in unbelief. Get in faith. Say, Lord, You brought me to this service. You might have tore my hide off all service, but Lord, You did it because You love me. I believe that, Lord. I'm not trusting my wisdom, my feelings. I'm trusting in Your wisdom that this foolishness of preaching is what's come to save me today, Lord. And you might be saved. You might be filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm not taking that from you, brother, sister. But is there a promise of God that God's trying to give to you? Are you living in sickness and you don't need to? Are you living in despair and you lost your joy somewhere along the road? Oh, come back to that well of living water and say, Lord, I surrender it to You. I believe You with all my heart. And when you begin to receive that promise, oh, just let it be watered with your praise. Give Him thanks. Give Him worship to His name, brother, sister. Many times a prophet would come. He'd discern somebody and tell them the problem. Sometimes he wouldn't. He'd just lay hands on them and say, be healed. He said, now, and he's real careful to say, now as you go, start thanking Him. Start praising Him. Even if you don't feel it, start saying. Start giving Him worship. Why? Because that's what will raise your faith. Say, Lord, I do believe this. I thank You for it. If you're still seeking the Holy Ghost, you've got something in the way. That's all there is to it. Because God wants you to have it. Amen. Thank You, Lord. God's not keeping His presence from any of us. He's trying to press it into every heart that's here. Hallelujah. Even keeping us here longer than normal. Why? Because He loves you, brother, sister. Do you feel His presence here with us today? Hallelujah. I was just listening to a tape. Keep sinking with all your heart, brother, sister. And the question was asked to Brother Branham that he didn't really believe in altar calls. Brother Branham explained himself. He says, I really don't. Because a lot of times an altar call, even now, if I could pull on your flesh and get people to come forward, get you to feel pretty good. I could try to convince you, you know, your mama prayed for you, your daddy prayed for you, your grandma that passed on, they were praying for you, and it'd be a real good idea for you to serve the Lord. And try to get you into some guilt, some psychology. Somebody gonna talk you out of that. Devil will get you right back out of that. That won't last. It's got to be something on the inside of you. Down in the soul, that's what you are. It says, I'm making a choice today. I'm making a choice to die to what I think. That's the whole message today. I'm not here to act on what my wisdom says. Lord, I've come to submit myself to Your wisdom about it. My wisdom says I'm too tired to pray. My wisdom says I don't got enough time. I got too much to do. But Your wisdom says if I'll just seek You, You'll give me all them things I'm worrying about all the time. Hallelujah. Oh, God bless you, saints. I just feel a sweet presence here. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray each heart that's here. Lord, may we never be ashamed of You. Never be ashamed of the movement of the Spirit. But Lord, that's what we come, that the Holy Spirit might flow through each one of us. I pray You'd see the heart's desire of every person that's here, and they'd leave with that desire fulfilled in You. That, Lord, these people seeking Your Holy Ghost, that they wouldn't leave here still dead in sins and trespasses, but they leave rejuvenated by the Spirit of God into a new life. For the Christians trying to serve You, Lord, the devil gets them all worked up and discouraged. I pray that today You'd break those chains off their life. And they leave here with that desire, not to just be free for the sake of being free, but to worship you, Lord. To be the Christians they really want to be in their hearts. Grant it to each one, Lord. You've sent your word. You've sent the power to back it up. And I pray every heart receive it today. Grant it, Lord. Hear their heart's cry, I ask. I raise them as trophies to you, Lord. May not one of them miss it. May not one of them leave here bound today, but find that peace that they're looking for in you. Grant it to each one, I pray, in the name that can't fail, the name of Jesus Christ, I ask you. Amen, amen. Dad, let's sing It's My Faith. You can go ahead and do it your way. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's by faith that I believe. It's by faith that I receive. It's by faith I'll overcome. Oh, it's by faith I'll see the sun. Let's just get in the spirit of that now. It's by faith and nothing else, Lord, that I believe. With all your heart. It's by faith that I receive. It's by faith I'll overcome. It's by faith I'll see the sun. One more time, all together, just like that. Oh, it's by faith. Make it a declaration that I believe. I believe it, Lord. Oh, it's by faith that I receive. It's by faith I'll overcome. It's by faith. Please sing it again. If there's a need and you'd like to come forward for prayer, would you do that now? God bless you, sisters. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your sisters. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Which by faith.
Jesus Christ. We send the word if we anoint with oil and ask the elders to pray that you would heal, Lord, and we pray that your word be fulfilled, that you'd heal our body of this infirmity. Satan, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, you made this body, make it well according to your word, we pray. We agree together now in the name of Jesus Christ. Grant it, Lord. Amen. Amen. Believe us, sister. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
It's by faith I'll overcome. It's by faith.
Lord Jesus, we pray for our brother's thumb. He's got a splinter, and Lord, we pray you come and heal it, make him well according to his faith. We believe with him, Lord, according to your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Thank you so much for him. Amen. Amen. Believe it. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
It's my faith.
Oh, just worship him now.
I'll overcome.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
It's my faith.
Hallelujah. I'll see. Give him worship just your own way. Pour your heart out to God. It's by faith. Thank you, Lord,
that I believe. It's by faith that I receive. It's by faith Thou overcome. It's by faith I see the sun.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, just take a moment and worship Him. Thank you, blessed Jesus. We praise you, Lord. I lift you up, Lord. You're worthy, Lord Jesus. Each one have their healing. Each one have their salvation, Lord. Thank you for hearing our prayers, Lord Jesus. I love you. Oh, don't reserve yourself. Give it to God. Give Him praise for what He's done for you, brother, sister.
Glory to you.
Thank you, Jesus. Never forget how far He's brought you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You're worthy of praise. Oh, blessed be His name. Blessed be His name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just feel His sweet presence here with us. Brother, sister, with all my heart I say this. This is God's witness to you of His presence.
Praise you, Jesus.
It's the calling out to our hearts to bring us back to Himself. Oh, hallelujah.
Praise you,
thank
Jesus.
You, Jesus. Don't go running pillar to post
thank
looking for
you,
God.
Jesus.
This that you feel right here
there's
by
Jesus.
Faith is the God you're looking for.
Thank Amen. You, Jesus. Praise
the
God.
One that's giving
thank
you peace. Jesus. You feel the burdens begin to lift off
thank
the people
you,
of God when they begin to believe that they're
praise
in the presence of God.
Jesus.
They just let go
hallelujah.
And it just flies right off because the Master
praise
took them all upon Himself. He nailed it to His cross on Calvary.
Hallelujah.
And there it stays. Thank you, Jesus. Don't go pulling it back off and bringing that condemnation back to your life. Leave that blood all over you, brother, sister. Let the Holy Spirit have His way. How many's heard from the Lord today? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How many believes He's still alive? Amen. I feel like rejoicing in His presence. I just feel the victory. Do you feel that in the house of God? Satan's defeated, brother, sister. He's a liar. We don't need pain. We don't need sickness. He's come and delivered us of all of it.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. It's 549. Just a little chorus here. I'm thinking C, but
Jesus is alive. Oh, Jesus is alive.
Sin and death must go.
Sin and death must go. They are conquered foe. For Jesus is alive. Oh, Jesus is alive. Oh, Jesus is alive. Sin and death must go.
Believe it with all your heart. They have to go.
For Jesus is alive. Oh, yes, Jesus is alive. Is alive. Sin and death must go. They are conquered for Jesus is alive.
Sing it again.
Oh, Jesus is alive. Yes, Jesus is alive. Sin and death must go. They are conquered for Jesus
one last time, give Him praise.
Oh, Jesus is alive.